All right. Okay. Hi. Thank you, Delaney. Welcome to the AI Unravel. You are the founder of Elevate, and you transform your own salary from 80K to 390K, leveraging job stacking strategies and AI. So our listeners want to know more about it. So why don't you just start by introducing yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate you having me here. Really excited to have the opportunity to chat all things remote jobs and job stacking. So, yeah, a little bit of background on myself. I studied IT and marketing in college, worked a traditional corporate career for about 7 years. Nothing sexy, was not like Meta or some cool Airbnb type company. It was healthcare. But I did stumble into product management pretty quickly. So, listeners may or may not know what that is. It's basically like the business side of tech. You're in charge of building apps, and like you're not the smart person coding, but you're in charge of planning the projects and whatnot. And it was cool. I really tried to get passionate about it, and I tried to really pour my creative energy into the corporate world. And not that it can't work, but the company I was at specifically did not really reward innovation, and it was more just like red tape and just keep the lights on type of energy. So I naturally pursued side hustle things, and I did a lot. So I collected a solid paycheck, nothing crazy, wasn't even quite six figures, but I spent several years learning about online business and how to build like a digital business that, like different service-based businesses, did things in health coaching and helped other people scale their businesses and kind of took on more of an operations type role. And eventually I got to this place where I was trying to sell my own coaching program, a few thousand dollars per client. And it was fine, but it was really hard. And the aha moment for me was, okay, I'm earning 80K as a product manager, but I could be making 160K as a product manager if I tried or if I really wanted to. So the aha moment was like, rather than trying to sell people a $3,000 coaching thing, why not sell a company a $160,000 thing, which is me as a product manager? So that was like the aha moment. I was like, okay, rather than that, you traditionally think about it as I work for a company, they're my identity, and I have to be like so committed to them. And it's not about not doing good work, but the aha moment for me was, okay, what if I could have two or three jobs, each making 150, 160K, and I do the job well, but I do it on my terms. Like if I can get 40 hours of work done in 15 hours, they don't need to know it took me, I did it faster, right? And I can take my power back. So that was the journey I set off on. Within 11 months, I was earning 390K across three product management jobs. I kept my 80K job. The next one came in at 160K, and then the next one came in at 150K. And had I wanted to pursue it, I would have probably tried to swap out the 80K for a higher paying one. But I was like, you know what? This is fine. I don't need more than this. And I knew I wanted to start this company. So, yeah, just like really high level. That was really great. I was earning about 30K per month. And it wasn't that, like, especially once you've done some entrepreneurial things, or even if you just get pretty competent in your line of work and you stop being all like fearful about what your boss thinks of you, as long as you're doing a good job, it becomes pretty easy. It can be pretty easy. So then it was like, okay, how do I still free up time to start my business, pour the money, and knowing what my end goal was? It's like, I don't want to do this forever. I personally want to start a business. So funneling the money I was making from that into being able to start our company, Elevated Tech. And since the beginning of 2024, we've helped 130-ish people now land and scale remote jobs. So we teach, really, it's how to get interviews and then how to turn those interviews into offers and then how to be more efficient in your work. So it actually can be pretty simple.
This sounds it sounds doable in in theory, but a lot of people will say, okay, first, for this to work, it probably has to be remote, right? Because you can juggle stuff from home. So there is that, and maybe they want to know, okay, how do you juggle meetings? Like if you have meetings that happen at the same times and things like that, anyway. So first, maybe let's start. Can you explain what job stacking is for people who are joining?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. So job stacking, a synonym for job stacking is overemployment or overemployed. Same name, really just means working multiple jobs at the same time. One of the first questions people ask is like, oh, is it full time? Is it part time? Technically, you could do anything. We traditionally focus on multiple legitimate full time roles. People are like, is it W-2 or 1099? Like, it could be either, but the theory is like you're being compensated for 40 hours of work. You're like compensated as someone who's full time in terms of hours. But whether that's technically contract or W-2, like, doesn't really matter. So the way I define job stacking, or at least the way we teach it, is securing multiple what would traditionally be 40 hours of work per week type jobs, but figuring out how to be very efficient, whether it's using AI, whether it's outsourcing some of your work to an assistant, or even just using your emotional IQ to be a good leader and rally people around being more efficient and like getting rid of dumb meetings, or empower people on your team to do the things that you don't particularly want to do, right? But not to get too into the weeds, job stacking is effectively figuring out how to say, I want to earn double or triple what I'm earning now without working insane hours. So it wouldn't be a personal win to have three jobs and work 100 hours a week. That would be hell. It'd be literal hell.
Yeah,
So,
so exactly. Now I'm glad you talk about AI because yeah, obviously our show is about AI, right? So that's the angle I really wanna push. So how does AI help with this job stacking thing?
yeah, certainly. So three ways. So I'll cover the actual, like, once you're in the job first, and I'll also, like, a lot of what we do for people, it only works because there's a lot of AI in the process of even running a job search. It's really like done for you. But when it comes to actual, like, okay, if you were to fast forward and you're in two or three jobs, I don't even like, AI is sexy and people want to know how to use AI, but it's not always the right solution. So really the first step is, like, the framework I like to use is, first, just write down everything you're doing, because you may not even be aware and how much time it takes you every week or every month. So, like, what are all my responsibilities? Like, keep a time journal, because you may not even really realize how much time you spend on dumb things. So, like, you might even realize, I shouldn't even be doing this thing. But once you have a full list of all the activities you're doing, then there's plenty of ways to figure this out. But it's getting really clear on, is AI the right tool, or is it one of the other methodologies? Because I wouldn't want people to just get overly excited about AI and assume that's the best solution, where sometimes it might not be, right? An example of that is your boss is asking you to do a weekly market report on just your competitors. It might make sense for you to do that, and AI could definitely help you do that. But maybe you check in and you're like, we shouldn't even be doing this weekly. Nothing changes week over week. So it's like, really think about it first.
Thinking
Like,
out,
do
yeah,
I even need to
exactly.
do
Yeah.
this? Or
Because
can I go
sometimes they ask
challenge
you
my
things, but they, people are so
Yes.
focused on AI, but sometimes you don't really need AI to get it done, right? So
Exactly. Exactly. But to actually answer your question, because there are a lot of times where it is helpful, and again, every situation is going to be unique, right? So it's, and the cop out answer is ask AI, right? So it's like, if I have a task and you're like, okay, I don't want to give this to an assistant because I think it'll be too hard. I can't really get rid of it. I have to do it. The best thing you can do is understand the landscape. And if you do, which means, what are all the tools out there? So everyone listening probably has at least heard of ChatGPT, hopefully, or those type of tools, whether it's Gemini or like Claude or whatever. I've always just been a loyal ChatGPT user because it just has gotten the job done for me. For any, like, so many jobs out there, unless you're a software developer or doing something highly technical, your job is probably some sort of combination of like taking some words, rejumbling them into a different format, and then giving them to somebody else, right? So, like, 70 to 80% of most people's jobs can leverage AI. And this is not some like tactical, one size fits all hack. But what I encourage people to do is, like, just pay attention to your traditional habits on how you solve problems. Or, like, if your boss asks you to do something, do you just react and just start doing it? Like, for me, what I started doing is I always just default to, could an AI tool do this for me? And if it's obvious that a tool like ChatGPT, which is what most people are comfortable using, like, if it seems like something that can do, I'll start prompting it, and I'll really just talk to it like a human. Be like, this is the problem I'm trying to solve. I'll either just start asking it to do the thing, or be like, what would be the another great prompt anyone could use is, what is the right AI tool to help me solve XYZ problem? So, like, I think people just can just get a little scared and like fearful, but just talk to the AI like it's a friend, and just like word vomit whatever's top of mind for you, and it will usually be pretty helpful, because it may be as easy as ChatGPT can do it for you. Or, and honestly, like another great way to approach this would be, here are the 20 things I do every week. What are the best AI tools on the market that I could use to solve each of these problems? And the more you deeply elaborate the use case, the workflow, the better its advice will be to you. So those are some really simple answers. And then, if you want to get a little more advanced, a lot of people are probably familiar with the idea that you can create your own custom ChatGPT bot, or I know at least in the paid version of ChatGPT, you can do projects where you can basically just upload custom documents and train your ChatGPT on data relevant to your job. So for me, the last job I was working, I've left all three of my corporate jobs now, but the last one I was working, I had basically just taken all the onboarding materials of all the things they wanted me to learn, and I uploaded them to a custom ChatGPT bot, and it could do my entire product
Yeah,
management job.
I've done
So
that too. Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, talking about the tools, right? So yeah, those tools and strategy that you said can work, but what about security, right? Maybe a company, yeah, I know they don't care about the tool, they just want you to do the job. But do they want you to upload their personal document into ChatGPT? Like there's that security,
yeah,
that
great
comes.
question. Yeah, that's a really important question. And I would say all this stuff is there, anything related to job stacking, there is usually some sort of risk, like what's the word? I'm spectrum, a spectrum of risk, right, for every decision you make. And likely that's definitely gray area, if not explicitly something you should not be doing in your job. And that's where it's like, okay, is AI outsourcing EQ or trying to just do this task are the four things you can do in any situation. And there will be situations where you probably shouldn't be uploading that. Now you can assess, like, what is the likelihood anyone's going to know? And I'm not in condoning people should do this. It's something you should think about. But for me, I was like, okay, I know I shouldn't, but will anyone really know? And is it that risky? Is this like, is this information that if someone found it or the AI algorithm found it, it would like do something devastating? And I was working for such a massive company that was like so far ahead of everyone else. And I was like, okay, nothing about what I'm sharing is like, I'm
Oh,
not getting sued over it.
you can also leverage, because for in my company, they for like if they allow something, if you go on the browser, for example, if you try to use ChatGPT in this block, it means that you are not allowed to use ChatGPT. But I've noticed that there are some tools like Gemini is open, so I use Gemini because so you can leverage what is allowed, and then they also have Copilot, Microsoft Copilot. So, you can use what the company allows you to do. And usually one of those AI tools will probably help you do, most of the thing,
Absolutely. And again, it's one of those things like if you it's a couple things, right? It's like, what do you want at the end of the day? If you really want to work multiple jobs, then and you're committed to that, well, then it's like you have to figure out how to become efficient in your work. And that's where you have to look and have those make those decisions, right? It's like, okay, I probably shouldn't do this, but if this is the differentiator that will allow me to free up time and be effective and work multiple jobs, well, it's a line you may have to cross, and you have to be open that, okay, like if your employer found out you were using ChatGPT when you weren't supposed to, like what are the implications, right? A lot of times people don't realize that you can turn off, and maybe it's even default now. Probably isn't, but I know there's a setting in ChatGPT where you can go in and make sure they're not able to consume any of your data. It's not a two-way feedback loop. So sometimes doing something as simple as that can protect you. Like in a worst case scenario, your employer says something to you, you can at least say, oh, well, I thought, I assume because I'm not sharing the data back, XYZ. Another option too, and this is like a bit more of the complexities of job stacking, is if you sometimes given the situation, because I was working for a big company, they're definitely tracking your browser history. I never had anyone say anything to me about it, but I wanted to be a little careful. So I would often like forward my personal email some documents, and I would do all the AI on my personal computer, and I would forward it
Yeah,
back.
that's
Or
clever.
I would like,
I know that technique. Yeah, that's good.
But it's really like if you're committed to it, you'll find a way, and there's
Oh
always a way
yeah,
around it.
definitely. Yeah. So now, people who are interested in this, this is gonna be maybe a chance for you to talk about what you do in your company. So they want to know, how can AI help you identify or secure a Hyperion role in your job stack?
For sure. Yeah. And a lot of people we work with are not even necessarily at the level where they're ready to stack, because at the end of the day, to your point, like you may like the idea of job stacking, but you're in a in-person job right now. So the next job you get is just going to replace your in-person jobs. So you can start approaching it, right? So I would say about a third of the people we work with are ready to job stack right now. Most of them are interested in it, but ultimately our framework is how to get a lot of interviews, how to turn those interviews into offers, and then how to get efficient in the roles, and then rinse and repeat the process. So basically, we're teaching people how to be effective in the current job market. And the biggest thing people need to realize is that before most people have a resume that if a human saw it, they'd be like, oh, this is great, I should talk to this person. But they don't realize that AI is the first line of defense for every recruiter. And what that means is if you put yourself in the recruiter's shoes, 500 people apply to every job on the internet these days. And so if you compare it to Google search results, that's like 50 pages of results, right? So what actually determines if you get interviews is, did you show up on page one or two, or did you show up on page 42? And that is what dictates, that is the number one problem we're trying to solve for, is before we even try to start applying to a lot of jobs or get a lot of applications out, it's like, are you showing up in the search results the way we need to? Because if you're not, no one's going to even know you exist, and you could apply to 1,000 jobs and not get a single interview because your hit rate isn't very high. So the way we do that is we do a lot of analysis on the right job title. And what we found in working with over 100 people is there's a great core, like a very strong correlation between how many jobs are posted for that exact job title that we're going to go after and how quick they get interviews and a job. So an example, if we take software development, so it could be like director of engineering or engineering manager, right? Like that would be a toggle where someone could probably either go for both, right? The difference is if you look at volume, sure, the pay might be a little higher, but there are probably 2,000 engineering manager positions open. I don't know if these numbers are exact, but the ratio is probably pretty close. There might be 300 director level roles open and 2,000 manager level or senior, like individual contributor. For sure, there are at least like 2, 3, 4,000. So it's 10 times more than the director level traditionally. So, and if you use an analogy to sales, like a sales organization, who would make more money? The people who called 300 people or the people who called 3,000 people? The latter would make way more money, all things created equal. And it works the same in the job market. So at least for us, we found a way to play the volume game. So if there are 2,000 like open roles, we have AI tools that can apply to all 2,000 in a given month. And but that only actually works if all 2,000 of those say engineering manager and your resume is optimized for engineering manager. Because if not, like even if you loosely talk about, and like even if your engineering prowess comes across so strong in your resume, but it doesn't say engineering manager, it says like, I don't know, engineering specialist or like whatever, like some slight variation, that alone will probably put you on page 30 and it will tank results. So for us, it's what's the right job title, optimizing the resume and LinkedIn around it, and having all the right, like basically just reverse engineering the AI algorithm. It's basically like SEO. Like if you wanted to make a blog popular 10 years ago, you would jam pack all your blog posts with the right keywords. You do the same thing with a resume and a LinkedIn, basically. There's other components too. But then once you have that figured out, you're like, okay, we feel confident we're going to show up in the top couple percentile. We'll be on the first couple pages. Now we ramp up the volume and we use some really powerful AI tools paired with a real human. We assign a real human assistant to all our clients, and it's basically their applying assistant who will make sure they get out 500 applications a week, 2,000 a month. And then it's like when we're talking to people, like that number kind of may just go over people's head, but it's like, if we applied to 2,000 jobs, how many interviews do you think you'd get? Or what percentage of job, like if you sent out 100 applications, do you think you'd get at least one interview? If that's the case, that's 20 interviews a month. And it's like, you can't, no person can be that bad at interviewing that after like 20, 40, 60 interviews, you don't have at least one good offer. So that's the game we play, is how do we make sure our clients are consistently getting at least 5 interviews a week? And then everything just snowballs from there.
Yeah, that's good. Another question. So what are some key consideration or potential challenges that someone should be aware of before attempting to implement, this job stacking strategy with you?
Yeah. Oh. For sure. There's a lot of considerations. The first question that a lot of people ask is job stacking even legal to do? Right? There's like a decent amount. It's like equally exciting and scary for people, and this should be. To my knowledge, and everyone should go do their research, but to my knowledge, as of April 2025, there's no federal law that says you can't work multiple jobs. There was actually, I think, I don't know if it was the FTC, some government body ruled that non-competes were no longer enforceable. So that means like that's just another really good example of companies losing power over employees, where it used to be like there could be legal implications of if you like tried to go work for a competitor after working for a company. So it's definitely trending to give the individual employee more power over the company itself. I don't believe there are any states that outlaw working multiple jobs, but again, everyone should just go check their local state to make sure of that. But so while there are no like overt legal implications like that, oftentimes your employment contract with your employer will have terms that say you can't be doing other things. Now, I have a few thoughts on that. Everyone should really think this through for themselves, do the research, et cetera. But a few things. One, almost every senior leader at every company is like on the board of some other company or, invested in their own startup or whatever. So like literally the people who are enforcing these contracts are violating them. So I think that's a bit
For
interesting.
sure.
But beyond that,
They just don't want the little guy to do it.
yeah, exactly. It's like they want to hold the power and not to get corny with it, but it's kind of true. But there are a few other considerations. So there have been some news headlines where people who are government employees and have security clearance have been caught job stacking and they've gotten like jail time. So if there's something like just really understand your situation, but and even for me starting a business around this, I wanted to really thoroughly understand it. And could a employer technically sue you? Anyone can sue anyone for anything if they want to. It's like, is there enough reason to? So it really would not, there's like very unlikely chances that that could or would happen to you, unless I would say the only situation that I can think of where that could happen is if you do go work for a direct competitor at the same time and you're like, trade secrets, that could put you in hot water. But assuming you're doing product management, software engineering, sales, marketing for two different companies that are not direct competitors, like they will likely 99% of the time are not going to do something like that. They're going to fire you, is the worst case scenario.
That's the worst case.
Now, yeah, and that's what people think about. It's like, what if I get fired? It's like, true. But here's my perspective on the risk profile. You've been in the corporate world for long enough that you've probably seen people who were dedicated, devoted, good employees. And for whatever reason, whether it's just like profit margin or a rough quarter, they get let go.
Get fired
And the job,
still, yeah.
yeah. And the job market is hard enough right now that people go 6 months without a job. So if you're trying to feed a family and you're used to making 10K a month and now you didn't make any money for 6 months, you're 60 grand in the hole, which can really ruin a family in a lot of ways.
Oh, definitely.
So for me, if it's like, okay, so you're telling me I could work one job, get fired, have no safety net, or I could work two jobs, and what are the outcomes that could happen? Unlikely, but even if one company finds out, you're back to still having a stable income and you're good, you're fine. In a way less likely situation, both companies find out and you're unemployed. Well, that could have happened anyways. So it's just about weighing the risk reward profile for you. It's like when I, and for me, the reason I have been an advocate for this is not only short term, I want to make sure I'm not put in a rough situation where I have no income, but the global market outlook for the next 10 years is pretty uncertain, right? Anyone who's following macroeconomics sees people like Ray Dalio talking about the changing world order. And like even over the last 2 weeks, how much uncertainty Trump is putting into the global market, how that's affecting people even seeing the US dollar as the world reserve currency and how we're losing our power in that way. And so like when things like that happen, it like this is, I'm just nerding out because I just watched a podcast on this, but like 100 years ago, England was the world power. Since then, their currency has been devalued by 99%.
That's right.
So in 100 years. So we are like high and mighty. We're the United States. Things are always going to be good because we're the big guy on the block. But historically, every 100 years, something like that happens. And who knows if that exact thing will happen, but between the potential for like a really bad recession, with AI replacing a ton of jobs, like here in Austin, Waymo is like the self-driving car thing. And swear to God, I see 200 of them a day with like passengers in the back seat. Like it's real and it's actually here. And it's like, it's replacing Uber actively right now. It's not like a future thing. So like these type of things are happening faster and faster. So it's like, who knows what will happen? So the ability to, even if you're saving an extra $50,000 a year because you're working multiple jobs, like that might be the difference between, like, who knows what that difference will make 5 years from now because you have that little extra nest egg saved up, you know?
For sure. No, that's good. So for my next question, so what's an actionable first step you'll recommend for someone who wants to start the job stacking? The first thing, where to start?
Yeah, for sure. So if someone wants to start job stacking, it depends, right? Like, it's like, are you curious about it or are you committed to it? It's not easy. Like, even if you automate the whole process, okay, then it becomes kind of easy. But even having to interview, like, even if you do that and you have to take 10 interviews, like, over a week or two, that's a lot. So you need to, just like you mentioned, it sounds good in theory, but, you know, like, am I really committed to it? You have to figure out if you're really committed to it and really know why you're committed to it and what outcome you want. Get crystal clear on the outcome. Like for me, I did the research and I said, I know I could earn $500,000 across three product management jobs. I know that's possible given my background, the market, what people are getting paid, et cetera. And when you have a really clear North Star, it makes everything easier. So that's the first step. And then a second tangible step would be figure out how to make a really good resume that the AI likes. If you can do that, if you can do just that, that's going to put you 80% of the way there, and everything else will flow naturally from that.
Okay. No, that's good. And so to help our listener understand the tangible outcome, could you perhaps share the type of role you were able to manage concurrently and the general time frame of which you saw this income grow?
For sure. So for me, I'll explain myself and then what we see for our clients too, because it's more broad than that. But my background is in product management. So I was earning $80,000, and then 3 months later, like interviewing and applying for 3 months, I received an offer at $160,000. I took 2 months off from applying so I could just get really dialed in my new role. And I encourage that for a lot of people, is like take the time to get become a high performer. Because another caveat I want to mention for people, or like rule that I have, is none of this will work if you're not a good employee. Like, if you get too greedy, it'll all fall apart. So go slow to the point that you have a good reputation and you're doing good quality work. So I took 2 months off to just really get comfortable in my role, build a lot of social capital with just like good relationships. And then I started going again. And it took me about another 3 months to get the next role. So it can happen way sooner. But 3 months, if you have all your ducks in a row, should be more than enough time, and it can happen faster. But also, everyone should just prepare that, like, companies want to hire the perfect person. So even once you have a good resume and you're getting interviews, you'll make it to final round interviews and not get the, like, that happened to me probably 10 times on my last, for to get my last job. It probably took me 11, 12 final round interviews because it's just so competitive. So everyone should just be prepared for that challenge as well. But so for me, I did work up to three jobs. It was pretty, three jobs can be intense. I think most people could handle two. I don't think there's many situations where you couldn't figure out how to handle two if you do everything correctly. But we see, so some fields that we see work very well with this: software development, quality assurance. It's pretty much anything in tech, cybersecurity roles, sales, marketing manager type roles, client success roles, accounting, finance, like really anything. I think you can theoretically do it almost anywhere. Obviously, the less consumer facing your job, the easier it will be to systematize and automate your work. If your job is talking to people all day long, it's a bit tougher, but we've seen a good amount of salespeople still figure it out and do it. It just takes a lot of creativity.
Yes, social capital, that's important. Because you need to build that trust. And then when people trust you, they know that you do a good job. they're trustworthy. Now, now you can you can do other stuff, and people, they get, I trust you, I trust Delaney. Like he's, so it's important for a listener to understand that, and it takes some time to build it. I don't want people to think that, you can just apply 1, 2, 3, just keep doing that. You need to build
Exactly.
a couple of months to build that trust. That's important. Yeah,
Exactly.
thank you for that. So for the last question, like for people who are inspired by your story, maybe can you outline some key indicators or results you personally track that confirm that the job stacking and then AI approach is successful? Like how do you track the success?
Yeah, certainly. So the number one, well, a few things. The number one thing we're always looking at for people is, can we make sure they're like, if you're able to get 2 to 3 interviews a week, that will ultimately track to eventual success. So if there's one KPI anyone is tracking, it's how many interviews am I getting weekly? I'll better directly answer your question, but I also want to drop this for people because I notice it a lot. It's very easy to get caught up in the amount of rejections you'll get for job postings. And I always have to encourage people, it's a mindset thing of ignore, like literally don't even pay attention to the rejections or treat them as a good thing.
Just keep
It's like,
going.
let me see how many rejections I can get, because if I'm getting more rejections, I'll get more interviews, right? So
Exactly.
you'll get rejected from 99 out of 100 jobs, and that's fine. Pay attention to your interview rate. But when we do data analysis, like, because even for us, we want to know what's working and what's not. And when we apply to jobs for our clients, we use an AI tool that automates the application process, but we also do easy applies, which is, the easy one click applies. You can get a lot done quickly. And we also do long form applying on company websites, and we track all the data. So we do a retroactive analysis for our clients of whoever got jobs, where did it come from? And we actually see about a 50-50% success rate, or the same success rate between whether you're doing any of those three mediums, because there's really just like a competition versus volume trade-off. But there's less people applying on the long forms, but you also can't get as many done. So you might have more success, like per application, you might get more interviews on the long forms, but on the easy applies, you're able to get out so many. And even if you have less response rate, like you still get interviews because you applied to so many jobs. So those are a few of the indicators we've seen that it works. But truly, because it can feel so complicated, it can feel overwhelming, but if you just focus on, am I consistently getting interviews? It's only a matter of time until you have an offer in hand, as long as you keep practicing your interview process.
Exactly. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So thank you. So for the last one, this is your chance to plug in your company. Someone who who's listening and he's interested. Like, how do they get in touch with you guys? Like,
Yeah,
what's the process?
absolutely. I appreciate that. So anyone can head over to our website, which is elevatedtech.us. We have a free community. Anyone can join, learn more about job stacking, get some free resources. We also offer some really great done-for-you services, like I've kind of mentioned here, which will run your job search for you. Especially if you're like a busy professional and you don't really want to do it yourself, you just want someone to do it for you. We're happy to help. So yeah, you can head over there. I'm also pretty active on Instagram and YouTube, so you can find me at Delaney William underscore on Instagram, and I'm sure you can drop the other stuff down below. But yeah, it's been fantastic, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be
Thank
on here
you.
and
Like,
spread the gospel of job
exactly.
stacking.
I will. And this is great. I'm sure people really need this. People are looking for jobs and it's competitive. So an opportunity
Yeah,
like
it's tough.
for people who are not tech, who don't know how to use AI, like if you can help them apply to tons of jobs and I'm pretty sure it's gonna be very helpful. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
All right.
Of course.
Okay. So thank you. We'll stay in touch.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, bye.